Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Flagstaff offices of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, just one thing. What's weighing you down? The practice? Lighten up. Why? On the path of life, most of us are hauling way too much weight. What's in your own backpack? If you're like most of us, you've got too many items on each day's to-do list and too much stuff in the closet, too many entanglements with other people, and too many shoulds, worries, guilts, and regrets. Remember a time when you lightened your load. Maybe a backpacking trip where every needless pound stayed home. Or after you finally left a bad relationship. Or just stopped worrying about something. Or came clean with a friend about something that had been bothering you. How did this feel? Probably pretty great. Sure, we are no longer nomadic hunter-gatherers whose possessions could be carried in one hand. You know what you really need in this life. Personally, I'm glad about good friends and a full refrigerator. But all the extra physical and mental stuff you lug around complicates your life, weighs you down, and keeps you stuck. There's enough weightiness in life with it as it is without adding more. Putting this subject in a larger framework, consider the Hindu idea that God has three primary manifestations: creator, preserver, and destroyer. I can't do justice in this brief space to this view, but the simple notion that works for me is that there is a lawful and beneficial principle in the universe that is about pruning, emptying, completing, and ending. This positive destroying, very broadly defined, enables creating and preserving, as exhaling enables inhaling, or emptying a cup of something bitter enables filling it with something sweet. Dropping loads enables lightening up. How? In general, lay your burdens down and rarely pick up new ones. Now the details. Pick some place of storage, like a bookshelf drawer or the corner of a closet, and clear it out of everything you no longer truly want or absolutely need. Give it away or throw it away. Notice how this feels, both anxiety and positive feelings. Sometimes we fear we will sort of blow away in life if we don't have a lot of stuff. Then, focus on the positive feelings and be open to a sense of reward in dropping things that you don't need. Keep going with other stuff you don't want or need, both at home and at work. Take a hard look at your obligations, responsibilities, and tasks. Maybe write down a list. Ask yourself, do I really need to do all of these things? Open to that voice of wisdom in you that's telling you what you can afford to drop. Open to a sense of freedom and autonomy. You get to decide what makes the most sense to do, not the shoulds yammering away inside your head. Decide what you can give to others to do, and then get them to do it. Decide what you could stop doing, whether others pick it up or not. For a period of time, like a day, a week, a year, do not take on a single new major obligation. Regard all new activities, events, and tasks as guilty until proven innocent. Toss them in your backpack only if you are certain that you truly want to or absolutely have to. Consider your relationships. Which ones feel weighty, entangled, encumbered? Then consider what you could do about that. Could you step back? No longer engage in certain topics? For example, intractable health problems, conflicts with third parties, the past. No longer perform certain roles, for example, problem solving, quasi-therapist, or dating advisor. Take a look at your mind. What weighs it down? Guilt about long ago misdeeds? Needless anxiety? High perfectionist standards? Grumbling anger? Grievances? Passivity, lethargy, doubt, taking yourself way too seriously. Whatever it is, for a brief period of time, a half an hour, a half a day, totally drop it. At the first whiff, drop it. See what it's like. Probably pretty great. Then ride that great wave of relief and lightness and continue dropping those lead weights in your mind. Overall, if in doubt, throw it out. Play with feeling lighter in your body, as if you are lifted up by invisible helium balloons. Lighter in your step. Your head is lighter on your shoulders. Lighter in your heart. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's another. What's the hurry? The practice? Avoid the rush. Why? As I was meditating one morning, our cat hopped up onto my lap. It felt sweet to sit there with him. And yet, even though I was feeling fine and had plenty of time, there was this internal pressure to start zipping along with emails and calls and all the other clamoring minutia of the day. You see the irony. We rush about as a means to an end, as a method for getting results in the form of good experiences, such as relaxation and happiness. Hanging out with our cat, I was afloat in good experiences. But the autopilot inside my head still kept trying to suck me back into methods for getting relaxation and happiness, as if I weren't already feeling that way. And of course, by jumping up and diving into doingness, I'd break the mood and lose the relaxation and happiness. That is the point of doingness. Sometimes we do need to rush, but maybe you've got to get your kid to school on time, or your boss really has to have that report by the end of the day. Okay. But much of the time, we rev up and race about because of unnecessary internal pressures, like unrealistic standards for ourselves, or because external forces are trying to hurry us along for their own purposes, not because of our own needs. How do you feel when you're rushing? Perhaps there's a bit of positive excitement, but if you're like me, there's mostly, if not entirely, a sensation of tension, discomfort, and anxiety. This kind of stress isn't pleasant for the mind, and over time it's really bad for the body. Plus, there's a loss of autonomy. The rush is pushing you one way or another, rather than you yourself deciding where you want to go and at what pace. Instead, how about stepping aside from the rush as much as you can, and into your own well-being, health, and autonomy? For starters, be mindful of rushing, your own and others. See how other people assume deadlines that aren't actually real, or get time pressured and intense about things that aren't that important. And yep, you get to decide for yourself what you think is real or important. Notice the internal shoulds or musts, or simply habits that speed you up. Then, when the demands of others bear down upon you, buy yourself some time. What the psychologist and Buddhist teacher Tara Brach calls the sacred pause. In order to create a space in which you are free to choose how you will respond. Are you letting the rushing of others become your own? Slow down the conversation, ask questions, and find out what's really true. Consider the sign I once saw in a car repair shop. Your lack of planning is not my emergency. On your own side of the street, try not to create emergencies for yourself. You can get a lot done at your own pace without rushing. Plan ahead and don't procrastinate until you're forced into hurrying. More fundamentally, be realistic about your own resources. It's a kind of modesty, a healthy humility, to finally admit to yourself and maybe others that you can't carry 5 quarts in a 1 gallon bucket. There are 168 hours in a week, not 169. It's also a kind of healthy renunciation, relinquishment, to set down the ego, drivenness, appetite, or ambition that overcommits and sets you up for rushing. And it's a matter of seeing clearly what is. A matter of being in reality rather than being confused or, in a sense, deluded. Nkosi Johnson was the South African boy born with HIV who became a national advocate for children with AIDS before dying at about the age of 12. And not one of us can do more than what he said here. Do all you can with what you have, in the time that you have, in the place where you are. Also, watch how the mind routinely gets caught up in becoming, in making plans that draw us into desires that draw us into rushing. The trick is to see this happening before it captures you. Most deeply, try to rest in and enjoy the richness of this moment. Even an ordinary moment, with its sounds, sights, tastes, smells, sensations, feelings, and thoughts, is amazingly interesting and rewarding. Afloat in the present, there's no need to rush along to anything else, even when you don't have a cat in your lap. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here comes one more. Busy, busy, the practice, rest. Why? This practice is definitely a case of teaching what you need to learn. I've been working through a big bucket of tasks lately with little chance to rest. I console myself with knowing that the bucket is emptying a lot faster than it's filling with new tasks. Sometimes you can really feel what you need to do by feeling what's happening for you when you don't. Don't, that is, ease up, unwind, recharge, put your feet up, take a load off, just chill. Because when you don't rest, you wear out, wear down, and start running on empty. Then you're not much good for yourself or anyone else. But when you get some rest and get more rested, you have more energy, mental clarity, resilience for the hard things, patience, and wholehearted caring for others. I promised my wife this would be my all-time fastest Just One Thing to write, because I really need some rest. And you do too. How? Tell the truth to yourself about how much time you actually, other than sleep, truly come to rest. Not accomplishing anything, not planning anything, not going anywhere. The time when you don't do anything at all, with a sense of relaxation and ease. No stress, no pressure, nothing weighing on you in the back of your mind. No sense of things undone. Utterly at rest. Probably not much time at all, if you're like me. Also acknowledge to yourself any unreasonable beliefs or fears about resting. For example, that if you rest, you'll lose your edge, things will fall apart, you'll let people down, others will judge you. Now imagine a kind, wise, fearless friend looking over your shoulder and knowing both how little time you rest and your reasons for not resting more. What will your friend tell you? Similarly, listen to your own innermost being about you and resting. What is that still, quiet voice saying to you? Imagine the benefits for you and others if you listen to the support and wisdom of your dear friend and innermost being. Then commit to what makes sense to you in terms of nudging your schedule in a more restful direction, refusing to add new tasks to your own bucket, taking more breaks, or simply helping your own mind be less busy with chatter, complaints about yourself and others, or inner struggles. For example, upon first waking, bring to mind your fundamental purpose in life, whatever it is, and rest in the felt knowing of it, in giving yourself over to it, like resting in the warm, cradling current of a great river. At meals, pause for half a minute with your food before you start eating. Be aware of that little space between the end of an inhalation and the beginning of an exhalation, or vice versa. From time to time each day, notice that space and rest into it. When you complete a task, take a break for a few seconds or more before shifting gears to the next one. Promise yourself that you'll take a minute or more each day to sit quietly and remain present with yourself while doing nothing. This is an essential type of meditation. Have real times each day when you truly clock out, no longer on the task or accountable to anyone. Encourage your mind to come to rest at least occasionally. Tell yourself you can worry, problem solve, grumble later. The mind brain is like a muscle. For example, using willpower consumes extra glucose, much like lifting weights does, and it needs to stop working sometimes to replenish and rebuild itself. And when you rest, sink into its pleasures, its rewards, and sense them sinking into you like a warm rain falling on thirsty ground. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. We are so busy these days that it's great to have just one thing to focus on, a simple theme to reflect on and be inspired by. These practices are grounded in brain science, positive psychology, and contemplative training. They're simple and easy to do, and they produce powerful results. For example, one practice asks you to take a few minutes each day to notice little things you appreciate or feel grateful for, like the smell of an orange or the smile of a friend. This may not sound like much, but research has shown that this practice will lift your mood, protect you against stress, and even strengthen your immune system. And here's a little bit more about Dr. Rick. Dr. Rick Hansen has spent decades gathering research, information, practices, and other resources to help people just like you turn everyday experiences into a powerful sense of lasting well-being that stays with you even amidst life's many challenges. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist Senior Fellow at UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center, and New York Times best-selling author. He is the founder of the Global Compassion Coalition and the Wellspring Institute for Neuroscience and Contemplative Wisdom, as well as the co-host of Being Well podcast, which has been downloaded over 15 million times. His free newsletters have over 260,000 subscribers, and his online programs have scholarships available for those in need. He began meditating in 1974 and has taught in meditation centers worldwide. He and his wife live in Northern California and have two adult children. He loves the wilderness and taking a break from emails. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in the Flagstaff offices of Sun Sounds of Arizona, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.